Hello and welcome to Pest in Class, Expert Voices in Pest Management. I'm your host, Amanda Salvatore, and today we talk with Melanie Espinola, Operations Manager at General Environmental Services. We talked about the support system available for women in the industry, her proactive leadership in shifting from index cards to software integration, and her effective staff training strategies for a seamless transition. Let's get into it.
You're listening to Pest in Class, Expert Voices in Pest Management, brought to you by Field Routes, your ultimate destination for insider knowledge and conversations with top professionals in the pest industry. Join us as we sit down with leading experts, seasoned entrepreneurs, and the innovative minds who are shaping the industry today.
Hello and welcome to Pest in Class, Expert Voices in Pest Management. I'm your host, Amanda Salvatore, and today we are talking to Melanie Espinola, Operations Manager at General Environmental Services. Melanie, thank you so much for coming in.
Hello, I'm happy to be here. I'm really excited for us to chat today.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to get into it. First, I wanted to do a little icebreaker, a little get to know you. And your question is, everyone gets a different one. Your question today is, if you could travel anywhere, where would you go?
Ooh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. I definitely would have to say Bora Bora. It would have to be somewhere like it's warm, water, definitely no outside world, no cell phones, no emails, no employees. Just the husband, myself, wake up when the body wants to wake up, have a good meal, and just lay in the sun and soak it all in. That's definitely what I would do.
I love that. I never know how to answer that. I feel like I've gone nowhere. I've been to places, but I never know how to answer that question because I feel like it's so loaded. But
I've been thinking about it. I've been dreaming about it. It's on that goal list. It's going to happen.
Absolutely. I love that. A beach vacation is a good vacation.
No outside world. That's the key.
Yes. That is the key. You're a very busy person.
Yes.
Yes. So you, as an operations manager, I'm sure you kind of have your hands everywhere in everything. So can you explain a little bit, first and foremost, how you got into the pest world?
It's very interesting, actually. I wasn't planning on it. I never thought this would be my career. But I was in college. I was at Marian Court College. It's a small college here in Massachusetts. And I was working at the mall, looking for a more professional job. I went to the placement office and they had a receptionist for a pest control business. It was a small business in Peabody, my hometown. It was a mom and pop kind of type of shop and they were looking for a receptionist. So I went that day to do an interview and I got hired on the spot and I started working for them. I was out of his house and he had a small office in his home, him and his wife. And they were probably like maybe five employees total, him, his wife, myself, and there was like two other technicians that were working there. It was most residential, all in our area. And then after about a year and a half, he decided to sell the business and he went looking to sell and he found General Environmental Services, which where I work currently now. And I thought, okay, he's going to sell it. I'm going to go do something else. And then I went into their offices in Malden and I met them all. They were wonderful. And I looked around and they were using index cards. No computers. And I was like, they need me. And I've been there ever since.
That you saw it and you're like, this is, I found my purpose. We're making this happen. Can I ask what year around that happened when they were using?
It was 2003 when I went over to them.
Yeah. Time to get onto computers.
The person that was running the office for them was a gentleman and he was so used to using the index card system. It was kind of creative how they did it, but they had like these little boxes and then inside the boxes were index cards and they were alphabetized. And then when a client would call, they pull the person's name or company name out and on the back of them would be the service dates. And that's how they keep track. So if somebody wanted an appointment, they pull their card out and then put the date on there and whatever information it was. And it was all laid out on the table. And I was like, yeah, we can use computers and we can organize it differently. We can have renewals. And that was it. And it changed it from that point on.
Wow. Before we get into that transition, because what a wild transition. I can't even imagine. What a journey. Can you give me a little history about the company itself?
So the company was started by Peter and Mary Beth Wanson. They're an amazing couple. They've known each other their whole lives. They were high school sweethearts. They started a business out of their kitchen table, and they had children. They had three boys and a girl, and the whole family is involved in the business. The sons now are running it. One is a sales manager. One is the owner itself. He's taken over. And they just started from there. They're well known in their community, and they built it out, and it's what it is today. And it's a pretty big business today. They're very good because it's very about business, but it's more about family. One of our technicians has been there for 35 years. Another one's been there 30 years, 28 years. Me, I've been there 23. It's going to be 23.
Wow.
So we're all like dedicated because they're so good to us. And it's hard to find out these days in bigger corporate companies. So it's just very different feel. And that's the things why I stayed so long and a lot of our employees stay as long as they do is because of how they are.
Yeah. There is a conversation that continuously comes up about recruiting and retention of employees. And it seems like they know what's going on since everyone's staying.
It's hard. It's hard. Like nowadays, like we go through employees a lot now and more so since COVID. Like just in the last month, we probably went through three employees. It's not the older ones. I've been there for a long time because they've already, like they're seasoned. Like they know how it is in there. It's just like, I feel like this newer generation is just a little harder. I don't know if it's the training or if it's just a different atmosphere or work ethic, but it's very hard to keep them. So when you do have them and you have a good place to work at, you stay, you know, as long as you can. And we have probably 5 or 6 employees right now that have been over 15 years with us.
Wow. That's really incredible. That really is. Yeah. There's a lot of ebbs and flows with employees, but there is something to be said if you have a good amount of people working for you for a very long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
That means they're being taken care of, which is really, really cool. What are some of the reasons you think people are staying with General Environmental Services?
I think the ones that have been with us the longest, like myself and others, it's because our careers grow. So I started off, you know, data entering, and here I am now running the office. And they allow us to use our ideas. Like, I want to change softwares, like, here we are. They're like, go for it. Like they believe in you. They want you to do well in life, whether it's a business or in personal. Like when I was going to school, I had to manage going to college full time, working full time. And they allowed me to move my schedule around to work between school and work. Like they didn't say like, oh, you can't work here. It's either one or the other. Like they work with you. If someone's buying a home for the first time and they need an advance for a down payment, that's something they'll work out with them, you know, like give them some help. And then in the future, they'll pay back from their paychecks. If someone's wants to do something different, like with schooling or get an additional license, the pest control world, they pay for all the education, training. We have events all the time. Like we have Christmas events. It's a work environment, but it's also a family environment. Their kids are invited. Like we meet each other's families. And we've been to our boss's house. He has a beautiful house in Essex. We've been there for dinners and pool parties. So it's like a family. And so that makes, for me, that's just a huge, it's the morale is different. So you work harder knowing that someone has your back. That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And that trickles down to if you have happy employees, that will always trickle down to customers.
And in events, like I've gotten graduated college. They came. They've gotten married. Like Peter Watson, the boss now, he got married to his wife. Kathy went to the wedding. A lot of the things they do at their homes, they invite us. So it's very family oriented. We're not blood. But we might as well be because we were in each other's lives for so long. I mean, I've been in their lives for 23 years. So I started working there. I was turning 19 years old. So my whole adult life has been in this business with this family. So even though they're not blood per se, they're like my family.
Yeah, they're really invested in you, which is incredible. I know that you had mentioned that you originally started with data entry and now you're operations manager.
Correct.
What were those little transitions like growing into the company? Because I think when people think of pest control, they might not know that there is opportunity for growth. So to anybody who is considering pest management or getting into the business, what does that opportunity look like?
So it's very funny you mentioned that because I find that pest control to a lot of people is taboo. They think, oh, pest control, ew, bugs, but it's not like that. It's a huge career for many people. There is anywhere from data entry receptionists to technicians to sales to education and training to product selling. There's all kinds of things. Like I started off doing data entry because when I started working there, I was young. We had got the computer and started entering all the clients in. From there, I was answering telephones and dispatching. I have a pest control license. I've gone out in the field. About 2 years ago, we were short-staffed, and we were short-CenterCon, which is termite stations in the ground. We were short-staffed. So I went out, and I did all the CenterCon for that whole summer. I'd go in the office, work during the day, leave, and then put in a uniform on and go out and do CenterCon. So that kind of technician work. I have hired people, trained people, take the trash out, clean the windows, uniforms, like whatever needs to get done there, it happens. But I did start off at the bottom, which is really great because when you start at the bottom and you work your way up, you really learn the business. You learn what is needed, the ups and downs, what works, what doesn't, different personalities. I mean, when I first started working there, I was the youngest person there. I was 18, turning 19, and it was a male dominant place. Like it was only the owners, she's a woman, and it was a receptionist, she was a woman, and that was it. And they were older than I was. And so for a girl to come in there and all of a sudden, like, you know, do all this different stuff, change the atmosphere, and then grow with the business, it's hard because I'm younger and a female, but it was a great transition. I was very receptive to them and then me, and they received me well, and it's been great.
That's really cool. Yeah. I like you said, it doesn't come across as something exciting, pest control necessarily. But then when you actually are in there, you can see all the different facets that really build up the company itself.
And nowadays they have women events like we have. So here in Massachusetts, we have pest control for women, and they have events. They have meetings. We do work women's networking. And there's a lot more women in the business now than I was when I started. Even like licensed technicians out in the field, like doing the hard work, because that is the hard work. And they do amazing. They love it. And when we go to these, like we went to Pest World last year in Hawaii, and they had a women's breakfast, and I don't think it was like 300 people there. It was a lot of people there. And I was surprised how many women were there and like pulling for each other. And even though we're like businesses, we're different businesses. There's a lot of pest control business in the industry. We all work together. So it's not competition per se. Like we'll go to these meetings and we'll be like, oh, how are you doing? And they're going through what we're going through. Like the employees are hard to find employees, or they're trying to change software, or they try a new chemical that's not working or it is working. And we'll discuss amongst each other, like, how's it going for you? Like everyone feeds off each other and helps each other to make their business better. So there's plenty of room for everyone to have a business and grow it. But it's great to have different companies come together and help each other out and grow their businesses.
Yeah, I love the exchanging of ideas and being open to communicating those needs and see what other people are doing to solve their problems, and can that help you?
And help grow each other, help each other grow. Like even right now, you guys in Field Roots, you guys have the Pathfinder meetings. I just started going to those, and it's amazing because there's like a bunch, 100 people each meeting. It differs, but they're all different companies, whether it's landscape or pest control, all around the world, and they're all using the software, but they're all using it different. So when sometimes it's the same and sometimes it's different. And when they're saying things, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And I learned so much from them. And then they're going through something that I'm going through, that I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm the only one going through this right now in this industry. And then all of a sudden they're talking about it. I'm like, oh, it's not just me. Everyone's going through it. So it helps like the morale, helps like us get strength in what we want to do, and just help each other out. It's actually great to have those kind of meetings like that.
Yeah, having resources is very important. I want to ask about resources. If I am a woman who is entering pest control, and sometimes maybe that feels like a lonely place, I know you had mentioned a couple of resources, but are there any others as a woman that I can tap into and find community?
Yep. So they have here, and they actually have it nationally too. They have the women's pest industry, and they have meetings like that. If you go onto there, there's plenty of what you can look it up in your state, in your city. There's education courses they have all the time. There's meet and greets that you can go if you're like having a question whether you want to be in this industry or not. I reached out to other companies where women are in there and asked for like advice. They've asked us. It was a company that we did recently that we had switch software, and they had asked questions about the software and like how to do something, how to do renewals. We do a lot of renewals with clients, which is reoccurring work, and they were interested on how to do it, and they had heard that I was doing it, so they reached out to me, and it was a woman, and she asked me like how I was doing it, and I share with her the information, and she's doing it now. So it's nice to have another female to go to because it's easiest to talk to relate. Sometimes they have families, and how does that balance it with work? Can you work from home? Do you have to be in the field all the time? There's different like questions and things you go through. They have a lot of grants and stuff like that and education funds for women who want to go to school or get their licenses. There's a lot of things out there for women. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. And there's a big career out there, whether you want to be in an office and do sales or you want to be like managing a team or you want to do education stuff. There's so many different atmospheres in this business that you could be a part of, whether it's a technician to be out in the field or you want to be in an office and grow. And you could start from the bottom, work your way up and run a business or even start your own business if you're really interested in doing that.
Absolutely. I think there is a little bit of a superpower being a woman in this industry and the trades industry, because it's a very male-dominated industry, but you are going into people's homes. Mm-hmm. You are interacting with them, and very often you're dealing with a female client who's home alone. And it's nice to know that there might be somebody that you feel comfortable with coming into your home.
And probably feel more reassured, like seeing a female face, a familiar face, and say, oh, well, she's doing it. I mean, it's not that bad. Like they're freaking out and they see that we're going into it hands-on, trying to figure out what's going on with them, trying to make them feel better. They calm down because we're like more sensitive to their needs. And even earlier, like we mentioned about women, like this year, the president of the National Women's Association, it's Marillion Bono, who is a woman president of this year. She was in Hawaii, and it's wonderful to see someone like her from a small business in Massachusetts make her way all the way up to national as a president.
Yeah, what is so cool to be able to follow these careers and see people take leadership on and really make change.
Yeah, and people look up to them because people are like myself. It's like, oh, well, she can do it, so can I. There's a lot of people. There's Kelly Atlan. She's from Bell Labs. Sheila Haddad, also from Bell Labs. They're all women in the industry. And whether it's selling products or having meetings, it's pretty amazing. They won a lot of awards. Sheila just won an award, I believe, this year in Hawaii. She's amazing. Like, if you ever need anything, you can call at any point. I've called Kelly many times to talk about things about in the industry. When they have these events, they call out, reach out. If they have a new product they want us to try out, they let us know. So it's nice to know that there's like other people like us in the industry that we can go to and call to anytime and support one another. I've gone to many, many meetings of just women-only meetings, and it's encouraging. It's encouraging to see that it grow. When I first started going a couple years ago to these meetings, maybe 10 women were in there. Now you go into these meetings, there's like 100 or more.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty amazing.
I love that. Yeah, really. There is a lot of room for growth, and there's a community who is ready to welcome you in, it sounds like.
Yep.
Absolutely. I love that. I do. I think that's so cool. I'd like to pivot to talk about going from paper to software, what that transition is like. I think that people who are running their business still with paper and, you know, index cards, it's a scary transition. So how did that?
We had many transitions, actually. We started with index cards. That's like the joke that we started with index cards. But it wasn't just that. We had index cards first. And then from there, they went into the software, which we had afterwards. But we didn't have handheld. So everything was like written on paper. So they had these field slips that they would fill out. And then every technician, every job, they get a field slip. It was like 2-ply paper. They fill it out. They leave one with the customer. We bring one back into an envelope. That would come to me. I open the envelope up and I enter all that in one by one into an invoice. We had a dot matrix system where like the print like little dots to print. It wasn't even a regular printer. That's how we did it for a long time. So it was with the computer. It was that. It was they would fill out field slips, pass them into me. I put in the date, the time, the employee that was there, the client, the chemical. I mean, it would take me like all day, every day to do entering this kind of stuff. Then came the telephones, right? So the handhelds, and that changed everything because now they're going out into the fields and they're scanning everything in. They're doing everything themselves and they're releasing the work. And then the client now gets an email as soon as they finish. The products are in there. Everything's on their account automatically. They get emailed a bill. They email back if there's any complications. Now you can see the technician's face as soon as they leave your house on an email. Like there's GPS on there to find these addresses where before they had to use maps to find the places they couldn't find. it's changed dramatically. Like, it's gone from index cards to, like, you don't even need paper anymore. Like, you save money on stamps. It's efficient. Before, you had to wait to get their paperwork back, fill it out, print it out, mail it out, then wait 7 to 10 days for them to get it, because in the mail, it's forever. Then you had to wait for them to write a check, write it back. So you wouldn't get a check now for like a month and a half. Now you walk out someone's house, they get an email with their bill, and they're texting you their payment.
Oh my gosh. So you've made the transition into software. You're seeing the benefits of that. But how did you come across FieldRoutes? I think this is a fun story.
It is. So we've been with our previous software since I started working there. That's software we've been with ever since. And we were never going to change because it's just too much work to change. Didn't want to do it. We were in Boston at Pest World 2022. And I was walking by, and FieldRoutes had this huge, like, billboards and tons of people there, like, calling you over, fancy stuff. And I'm like, not interested. And the guy kept following me. He's like, come on. I'm like, not interested. And he's like, oh, we have this wheel. If you spin it, you win a prize. I don't need a prize. I don't want it. I don't care. I'm not moving. And my boss was with me. And I'm like, we're not switching, because if we switch, it's me doing all the work and I can't have the stress. We're not doing it. And as I'm saying that, I'm walking by, and of course, there's this big TV under the FieldRoutes booth, and this guy is playing with the scheduling system. And I'm looking at it, and it caught my eye, and I walked over. And they were moving schedules around, and it said, like, how many miles between a job. And that was it. Because one of our problems we have is when we hire people, even myself included, we're from here, but Boston is a big area. Right. So you could be a mile away from a job. You could be 12 miles away from a job. It's still Boston. Boston's Boston. But how it's just impossible to know every street, how close it is, and where it's at. So when I saw that, I'm like, my goodness, that is so efficient. That is going to save us so much time. And these poor girls that are my dispatchers trying to schedule and figure out where to put things. And guys are calling like, it's too far away. It's not 5 minutes. It's 20 minutes, half an hour. And it's causing a problem. So I saw that, and that was it. So I told them, give me a call after the seminar, the booth seminar that they had, and they did, and that was it. And we did a one-on-one meeting, and that was sold. And then everything else that came with it was obviously important too. Like, there was the emailing, save a lot on paper and stamps, the efficiency of it all, definitely the scheduling. That was the major thing for me. It was easier to use, and it was very, very inexpensive compared to our other software. Like, thousands of dollars a month less with more included. So that was a winner for my boss. And when we were together in Boston, and he was like, are you sure you want to do this move? Because you said you would never move. And I was like, listen, if what I saw is real, it's going to be worth it. But I was scared. I was like, I after I did it, and we signed on. It was like a week later, they called. We did like a one-on-one. They showed me kind of what they do and how it works. I was like, sign me up. And that was it. And then after I did that, I'm like, what did I do? Like, this is a mistake.
Immediate regret.
Regret. Like, why did I do this? I'm going to lose sleep. The business is going to fall apart. I'm going to lose clients. It's going to crash. Like, everything negative that you could think about, like, the fear just, like, went on my shoulders. Because this is not my business. I run business. I help run it. But it's not mine. So if it fails, it's failing for a family that I've been working for a long time who – you know, want me to do well for them and for myself. And I'm like, this is going to be bad. I printed all the finances, the accounts receivable, accounts payables, everything that had to do with the software. I printed it all out and I brought it home with me. So when I was going through with data, comparing one to the other, it all came over. I was actually, you guys did a really good job of carrying it over, but I wanted to make sure that it was all there. And I went through all of it. There was a couple glitches because I had that paperwork with me. Especially scheduling. We have a lot of clients that are reoccurring, like monthly, weekly. I was scared, what if that dropped and now we're not servicing these customers that we're supposed to. So I went through their schedules, and after, it was about 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I went back to work, and he's like, you're back? And I'm like, it's ready to go.
She emerges from her home. Her hair's a mess. Her hair is gray all of a sudden.
A little moody.
That's what happened to me. That's what it was. I did 2 weeks at home trying to do a transition, and I'm fully gray now. I have to say, it really is a testament to how dedicated you are to the company to take those 2 weeks and to really do your due diligence and make sure that everything is set up. Make sure that everything, all your ducks are in a row. I have to ask, did you get to go on your trip?
Oh, I did. Yes.
Okay.
My husband would divorce me if we didn't go away. Yes. I did everything right before. So we went away that day. So when I finished, like what I was supposed to do, it was the very next day I went away. And so it was on a weekend. So I finished on a Friday. So on Saturday, we went for like a long weekend. I went to Gloucester and it was a Friday. I'll never forget. It was a Friday. We went Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and Monday. And Monday was when the guys went back to work, right? So they would, if it didn't work, we'd be in trouble because there'd be no handhelds, there'll be no work produced, where they're going to go, schedules, things like that. But I said, listen, it is what it is. Like, go for it. If it crashes, it crashes. If it doesn't, then we made it. And we made it. They went to work on the next day, on Monday. They used the software. Fine. I had given them like fake accounts prior. So like prior to going live, I had made them their own accounts. And then I made like fake appointments for them to close out and practice. And then after when it went live, it was right. They knew what they're doing. So they wouldn't screw anybody else's stuff up. So it worked out pretty good.
I have to say, I love this idea. And that was going to be my next question. You spend these 2 weeks mm-hmm. working your butt off, making mm-hmm. sure everything is all set up. You know the software, but how does the rest of the team learn the software and hit the ground running without any glitches? So you're saying that you did the fake accounts. Is there anything else that you did to prepare your team for this transition?
Yeah. We use the knowledge base from Field Roots, and it has everything you need to know on there. So what I did is, especially right now, we hired brand new dispatchers. Before, I had to sit with them, train them one by one. Now I say, nope, they come in the first day. Their first 2 days is to read the knowledge base, to go through it, to read it, to understand it, and to practice with it. They have to create their own account. Like if they're a customer, they create an appointment for a technician to go to. It's not real. It's just for them to try it out. And then they schedule an appointment that way. They do everything if a real person just call them. And then from there, once they have enough practice, then they can start working with real clients. My new dispatcher, she started in November. Within a week, she was already answering phone calls and scheduling people. Like, she had been doing it for like 3 years. Super easy. But the whole thing about this whole process, I want people to understand, it scares you. And you might think like, I don't want to do it. It's scary. It's scary. But once you get past that fear and you get it accomplished, so much more great stuff happens. Our company has done really well this year. Of course, there's errors and stuff. Things happen. Like there's mistakes, but the mistakes I can fix. I rather have a mistake here and there than have everyone panic.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm hearing is that if you really want a tool to work for you, it's the same as you do anything with your business, with training, with tools that you're using out in the field. It's the same exact thing with software. You have to train, you have to understand, you have to have a knowledge of this tool to be able to utilize it correctly and to benefit from it, as opposed to it being a cure-all. All of a sudden, we did this transition and everything is great. You really have to understand and have that education behind it.
Yes. And a lot of times people get software or anything and they say, okay, I got this. This should do all the work for me. But nothing's like that in life. Like if you want something to be successful, anything, whether it's in your personal life, business, whatever it is, you have to put the work into it. The man hours, like I'm at work every day at 5:30 in the morning. Like I don't have to be there at 5:30 in the morning, but I go because I know that if I start my morning early enough, I do all the financing, things I need for quiet time. By 7 o'clock, the dispatchers roll in. Now I'm there to assist them in any issues they might have. And in the meantime, between 5:30 and 7, if anybody called the night before that emergency, a guy is out sick. Now there's no chaos. I'm already there. So before the girls walk in, I can already help them out prior. So then I'm walking in at 7 a.m. and chaos is happening. He didn't show up to an appointment. Something happened. So it's all about like timing, patience, hard work. Yeah, it's stressful. And like there's days I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm here all the time. But it's rewarding also because the better I do, the better they do. And if we all do our best, then you can only grow from there. Like you grow from how good you do. So it's important that we all work together and that we're there for each other and do well. Like there's technicians that start off and they don't really know much at the beginning. So they get trained as much as they can and we walk them through it. And then even when they've been there for a long time and they come across something new, sometimes the older people that have been there for a longer might not be so computer savvy as the younger generation coming in. So they might help them with that, but they're not as trained in the field putting out chemicals or looking for a rat hole where the older people that have been there longer, older employees can show them. So it goes both ways. Like the younger generation, older generation, they need each other, whether it's like computers or it's working in the field. So it goes hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. There's this symbiotic relationship with everyone, being able to help each other out, use their strong suits, be able to help troubleshoot and really make sure that everyone is getting the help that they need. I have to stop and say, you are an incredible employee. If I ever had a business, I'm calling you up. I don't know what business I would start. But I would be calling you up because
I'm loyal to them because they're loyal to me. I've been there for a long time. So when you've been there for a long time and you've been through the ups and downs, you know, like a lot of things have happened. We had an employee that worked there for a long time. Her name was Jackie. She was my mentor working there. She passed away while working there. Like, it, you know, we go through a lot of things together as employees, as family, as coworkers, you know, life happens. And so when you have a family that owns a business like Mary Beth and Peter do. Mary Beth owns the business. It's a woman-owned business, which is kind of cool. And she owns 51%. Her husband, Peter, owns 49%. And they are so amazing. Like, they're just grateful that you go to work every day. Like, good morning, how are you? And like, now they're semi-retired. They don't really come to work as often. They're more home. And their son, Peter, Watson Jr., has taken over. But they still call in. His senior still calls in and says, hey, good morning. How's your day? How are things going? Oh, Mel, I heard you did something this different. Great job. Like, so encouraging. Like, you want to be there. Like, as much if even if there's another opportunity that came along, they're like, hey, we'll offer you another $100,000. I don't even know if I would go, because it's not about the money as it is about the atmosphere and feeling wanted. It's very special to work for a company that's just so inviting and fun to be around. And if you, in the industry, if you ask anybody about Peter Watson and Mary Beth Watson Sr., they'll tell you they're amazing. They're so well known in the community, in the pest industry, well respected. And that doesn't come easy. That tells you the kind of people that they are. So it's important to work for people like that. Like, you want to do better because the way they treat you. And the harder I work, the more we'll make. Like, if I do these new things that are coming out, like things that are outside the box, like social media and marketing, and now software changes and uniform changes, even the little stuff as like uniform change, right? Which we're doing right now. It's important because the more you grow with the world, the better you're going to do. You have to go with time. Like, now everything is social media. You know, back in the day, there was no social media. You could go out anyway. There's no cell phones. Now social media is everything. Your business is not Yellow Pages anymore. It's what's on Instagram, what's on Facebook, what's the new thing going on. Like, some fun video on TikTok about a rat all of a sudden got 100 million views and you're on the map. So it's very different world, and you got to keep up with that world if you want to make it in this industry in general, I think so.
Yeah, I agree. I think there is something to be said about keeping up with the times, getting yourself out there, knowing what's going on, having your finger on the pulse is really important. And you think that maybe something like social media, maybe not take it as seriously, or marketing, maybe not as seriously, but in reality, it's important. Absolutely. Speaking of social media and just keeping up with the times, reviews. This is something that I heard you talk about before, about how you changed your reviews from maybe not so great to awesome. And I think this is such a cool thing, and I think a lot of people can benefit from it. Can you dive into that?
Yes. So our Google reviews, unfortunately, were a 2.4. We went to Boston Pest World in 2022. Very embarrassing. Some of the reviews weren't even from us. One of them was about an asbestos company that was named like us. And I tried to get it correct and we couldn't, but some of them were us. It wasn't a lot reviews, but the ones that were there were bad. So I'm like, what are we going to do? So my boss was thinking about getting a company to help us fix it. And I'm like, that doesn't seem like it's going to work too well. With the new software with Field Roots, what happens is every time a service gets emailed or completed by a technician, it automatically gets emailed to the client. In that email, there is a star ratings between 1 and 5. So if you get, whatever you get, it shows up on your alerts. But if you get anywhere between a 4 or 5, which is great, you can go to the Google source. You can link it to a Google search and then review, and they'll click on that and they can star you. So lately, obviously, we've been doing really well because we've been, you know, on it. And so we went from a 2.0, I think it was 1 or 4, to today we're a 4.8.
Wow.
Yeah, which is major, because you know that if someone looks at a Google review or a Yelp and they see a 2 or a 2.1 or 2.4, they're like, oh no, I am not calling these people. Like, they just lost that business. And now they see me at 4.8, and it's wonderful. Because everybody that, like, our reoccurring customers didn't know they can, you know, do ratings. They get that in their email automatically. They click the button, they write something great about the technician they just had. You know, and one of our technicians will go there, good morning, how are you? Help them solve their problem. They're happy at that minute. So in that minute that they're happy, and a technician just walked out the door, and an email was just sent to them, they respond, well, they're happy. This is not like the next day, 2 days later. This is like at that moment. So it's crucial, the timing of it, because if they're happy at that moment, they're going to be happier to write a good review. And then it comes quickly, it goes right into the website, and then here we are. So as of today, we're at 4.8.
So that is incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah, there is something to be said about getting people just at the right time.
Yes.
Very often, and when I'm looking at reviews personally, I'll go to the worst reviews first and see if there's anything that's consistent. Yeah, you gotta. Like, that's
what's going on. What's so bad about it? Like, it's because all the good ones are always the good ones, but you always want to look at the bad ones, see what's going on. Like, what do they really do?
Yeah. And also, what I'm looking for is a consistent issue. Are they always late? Is everyone complaining about the service itself? Attitudes, like, what's wrong here, right? But very rarely will you write a good review when you're happy, because you're happy with the service and you move on with your day. If you're upset, you're stewing on it for a few days. if you're gonna log on to Yelp and write a nasty review, you've been probably sitting on it for a while and you feel strongly about it. But when you're happy, you kind of just go on about your day. So I think that is a really great system to implement to be able to help the business.
And it's good too, because when they get those emails, the great thing about it is when they get those emails, it has the technician's picture on it, which is very important. They just saw the technician. So before they even come, they can see his face. So that eases their emotions about who's coming, who's not coming to their house, right? Then they get the service, and they get, after the service is completed, they get a report detailing the chemicals that it was put in there, what he did, the time he came in, time he came out, any issues that he found, any pictures that he took while he was there, and then comes the review. And then they can pay right then and there too. They click a button, there's a link there, and they can pay instantly. Sometimes a guy is leaving the driveway and I'm already getting paid. So it's very important and very efficient. That's how they do it. It saves money, time, and the reviews. Like you just said, it changed us. Because if you saw us at 2.1, you wouldn't call us. But as a 4.8, you're like, wow, that's pretty great, especially nowadays. So it's a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. It could change the trajectory of your entire business, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Before we end today, I want to just ask, is there anything you really would want to hone in on or talk about easing people who are concerned about that transition to a software? What would you say to them?
I'd say to myself too, because I was one of those people, I'd say don't have fear. Because if you let your fear consume you, you'll never move forward. You just got to go with the flow, do the best you can, and care. Like I truly care about what I do every day. And if you care about what you do, you can only succeed. So it's very important that you just follow what your gut feeling is. That's most important. And when you feel that something is really right for your company or for yourself, you just got to do it. If you don't try, how do you know? You're just stuck in the same way going forward. Nothing changes. It's just complacent. So it's important to give it a try and do the best that you can.
Absolutely. What I'm hearing is follow the fear and work hard.
And do it. Don't give up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You should be a motivational speaker. I want to climb a mountain now. I'm like, yeah, work hard. And finally, I wanted to ask, what do you wish that people who are not in the pest industry, what do you wish they knew about the work and the people who work in this industry?
This industry is a very hard industry to work in. But it's very also rewarding. It's hard in it's physical labor for technicians, but they strive to do better. And they actually, to be honest with you, when you think about it, like, oh, who's the biggest asset of a company? It's the technicians, because they're out there every day meeting with the people, meeting with the clients, doing the hard work, putting it in. Without them, there's no us. But it's rewarding because you see them like learning every day and growing. They go from a technician to a salesperson to they grow the business, and it's very important. It's just, I feel like just people don't realize how much of a career it is, how much of revenue it is for a family. Like I have a great life. I own a home. I went to school, paid for my own college education. I have a lot of things in my life that I'm grateful for and that I'm allowed to have because of where I work and what I've done. I've grown so much. Like, I don't have fear of like work, things I want in life. Like, I can have whatever I want, whether it's a vacation or a home or a car, because of the hard work I put into it and the job that I have. So this career, this industry has so much to offer, whether it's building relationships, education, just building a family. Like, you can build a family, a home, a life, which working in this industry, it's, I think people don't realize how much of an industry and how important impact it has. You'll always have bugs. So you'll always be a pest control person. So you'll never be without a job. So it's very, very important to just give it a try. If something you're interested in doing, go for it. And you'll only know if you try it. So give it a try. If it's not for you, then at least you tried and you knew.
Oh man, follow the fear, baby. I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's awesome. I appreciate it.
Field Route's first conference for customers in Las Vegas proved to be a winner, and you don't want to miss Ignite 2024, which promises to make magic happen in Orlando, Florida, August 26th through the 28th. Network with colleagues, hear inspiring addresses, get an insider's view of Field Route's software and pro products, and have a blast while you're at it. Ignite is built for not just business owners, but key members of an organization. Click the link in our show notes to register now and secure your spot for Ignite 2024.